Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
People all over the country dealing with outages from AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. All of those carriers having issues this morning. An update on the amount of people here in the Triangle and nationwide dealing with those issues.
It's a chilly start this morning. Temperatures are starting to warm up a bit into the low 40s. For Friday, we're looking at rain, and the models are showing more than we saw yesterday. I'll show you how much we could see and the timeline coming up.
Plus, two people are on the run after leading troopers on a chase. We'll explain the efforts to stop the car and how they managed to escape. And the technology that detects gunshots in Durham could be making a return to the city. Why police say it helps them do their jobs and why others have some concerns. We have that and other stories to get your Thursday morning going. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Renee Chu. Today is going to be one of the prettiest days of the week. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Added on top of that, we'll get into the 60s today.
It's going to be a nice one. Great day to get outside and enjoy. And of course, this is a look at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. And I know this is going to be a busy place later on today. We do have partly cloudy skies here, some pretty blue there over the buildings there in Pinehurst. Our temperature is 41. Our wind has shifted to southwesterly, just 5 miles per hour in the Triangle area right now. But it is likely to be breezy this afternoon. That flow will be coming out of the south, though, so it's going to bring in that warm air. Starting to warm up in some places. It's 37 now in Fayetteville, 34 South Hill, 37 Roxboro, still holding on to 29 in Goldsboro and 32 in Rocky Mount and Wilson. Hour by hour, we climb to 60 by lunchtime and in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tracking the rain for tomorrow, the newest runs of our high-resolution models are a good bit wetter than they were this time yesterday. We'll be dry today, a good bit more cloud cover by 5 o'clock, and the rain moves in after midnight. So there's 3 a.m. with some scattered rain. There's 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock looking at some fairly widespread rain up until around lunchtime. Then it starts to taper off a little bit during the afternoon, but we'll still likely have some waves of rain all the way up until around 5 o'clock. After that, temperatures turn cooler. Tomorrow, we'll see a high of 63, and then we're cooler Saturday and Sunday. We could see a few isolated showers Saturday. I'll show you the timeline coming up, Brian.
It's 8:02 right now, Elizabeth, and we're following some big delays on Capitol Boulevard this morning between Raleigh and Wake Forest. A crash reported on that northbound side, not too far from Burlington Mills Road. Heavy delays this morning on the northbound side of Capitol Boulevard, beginning around the 540 interchange through Durant Road all the way out toward Burlington Mills Road. If you can pick it up from Burlington Mills Road, you'll be in good shape from there heading into Wake Forest. You might consider using Ligon Mill Road as an alternate route. If you're trying to get from 540 to Wake Forest this morning on that northbound side, consider using Falls of Neuse Road. That'll save you about 3 minutes. On the southbound side, we're seeing some delays apparently unrelated to that crash. Just usual congestion there, about a 12-minute backup overall from 98 down toward the 540 interchange. So allow plenty of extra time this morning between Raleigh and Wake Forest. We have a report of a crash also on 440 westbound right around Lake Boone Trail. Not seeing too many delays related to that crash, but we are seeing some backups with the usual congestion between 87 and Capitol Boulevard, about a 7-minute delay overall from 87 to Wade Avenue. They're clearing a crash right now from South Raleigh at Wilmington Street at Tryon Road. Not seeing big delays with that crash at this point. Elsewhere around the Triangle, pretty typical for this point in the morning commute around Wake County with major routes getting busy in the usual spots. Some heavy delays in both directions of 885 this morning in Durham between I-40 and the 147 split. Major approaches into Durham, though, are looking all right, including 40 eastbound, which is a smooth ride right now from Chapel Hill at 15501 out to 885. Our live newscast, as well as our live traffic updates, continue on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham.
Brian, thanks. Two people are on the run this morning after leading a trooper on a high-speed chase in a stolen car. The chase started last night when a trooper clocked the car going 90 miles an hour on I-40 near the US 70 exit. The speeding car exited onto NC 42 near Clayton. A trooper was able to use a pit maneuver to stop the car on Cornwallis Road in Wake County. Three people jumped out and ran. One of them, a juvenile, was caught. The others were able to escape search efforts by Highway Patrol, Garner Police, and Wake County Sheriff's deputies.
And happening today, Durham City leaders are working to reduce crime in the city. The police chief will give an update on crime trends to the city council at today's meeting. Go Durham bus drivers will be at that meeting to call for more safety in public transit. And ShotSpotter, a technology that detects gunshots, could make a return to the city. WREL's Kelsey Coffey is outside Durham Police Headquarters. And Kelsey, police want this ShotSpotter technology back because it improves their response time.
Michelle, officers here at the Durham Police Department have been advocating for this technology for a really long time. Today, Durham City Council will talk about using ShotSpotter for a three-year contract, and that contract would cost more than $650,000. But Durham Police believe it's worth the money, pointing to data from a one-year pilot program. That data shows the median response time was 271 seconds in the area where the technology was installed. That's 88 seconds faster than the year before. Some people are concerned that ShotSpotter increases police activity in communities of color. They also bring up privacy concerns. Tom Chittum with ShotSpotter argues it's an effective tool.
We very often help police locate gunshot wound victims who need immediate aid, especially when no one else calls 911.
ShotSpotter is already being used in at least six other cities across North Carolina, including Fayetteville, Goldsboro, Greenville, Rocky Mount, Wilmington, and Winston-Salem. Representatives from Duke University's Wilson Center will be at today's meeting. There, they'll present their findings about the effectiveness of this technology. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Durham.
Police Chief Patrice Andrews will share a full report on crime in 2023 with Durham City Council today. The report shows there were 49 homicides in Durham in 2023. That's up from 45 the year before. There are 157 rapes, up from 135 in 2022. And there were 484 robberies, which is down from 574 the year before. Andrews will also talk with city leaders about police response times and staffing. Coming up in 10 minutes, the concerns Go Durham bus drivers want police and city leaders to address.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, we continue to stay on top of this major issue concerning connectivity problems nationwide. AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon customers all experiencing connectivity issues. We just updated this map from downdetector.com, showing that more than 64,000 customers nationwide are experiencing connectivity issues. And just a short time ago, we got a statement from AT&T saying the company is aware of the mobility issues users are experiencing, and the company is working to resolve the matter ASAP. Now, the company is asking customers to go to the service outage information page, and of course, they're apologizing for this issue. We did just that. Michelle did that about 15 minutes ago, and we pulled up the map, and we're seeing no issues here in the Triangle and surrounding areas. But again, we also did some checking this morning with our own people here at WREL, and some people with AT&T were having issues making phone calls. We will stay on top of this story and keep you updated here in the WREL Live Center.
All right. Thank you, Ken. A Raleigh family is out of their home this morning after a fire. A neighbor captured these flames coming from the top of this condo on Capability Drive near NC State Centennial Campus. About 30 firefighters responded to the fire in a middle unit of a five-home condo complex around 5:30 yesterday. They were able to get it under control within about 30 minutes. Thankfully, nobody was home at the time of the fire, except for the family dog, Sadie, who firefighters pulled out safely.
I'm just glad Sadie's okay. She was on the first floor. She can't go up and down the stairs at all. So yeah, she was safe down there.
And firefighters say the fire was contained to the balcony and the attic. They say it was accidental. Today, Durham Public School leaders are expected to make a decision about how to address the district's pay concerns long term. The board is considering different options to give classified staff raises and restore salary steps that were taken away from employees. The dispute over the pay has disrupted class schedules in Durham several times in recent weeks. Last week, school leaders agreed to create a panel to give employees a greater voice in the decision making. The group will include school board members, school administrators, and members of the Durham Association of Educators. Today, the members of the group will be chosen. Coming up tonight on WREL News at 6, the faces of Poe Hall as Five on Your Side investigates this exclusive story. Keely Arthur sits down with 8 women who worked or studied at NC State's Poe Hall and were diagnosed with cancer. In November, the university closed the education and psychology hall after testing revealed high levels of cancer-causing toxic chemicals. In the 4 months since, more than 100 people who worked or studied in Poe Hall have come forward to WREL saying they have cancer or a serious illness. It is not known if the cases are connected to the chemicals. NC State hired a consulting firm to do more testing on the building. Yet many of the people with cancer say the university will not respond to them when they ask for guidance.
Let us help you. Let us work with you. We're not against you. We really want to work with you. And I think that that's the only way that we're going to be able to lower levels of anxiety and frustration and work together and really get good answers to this.
At 6, we'll have a closer look at the types of cancers reported in people who spent time in Poe Hall.
The Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are children. What this means for women and couples undergoing IVF fertility treatments, coming up.
And Go Durham bus drivers plan to show up to today's city council meeting. Just ahead, why they're worried about safety for themselves and their passengers.
And today is going to be a nice, mild day. Temperatures will climb into the mid-60s, but we'll notice some increasing clouds because we have a system that will bring us some rain on Friday. The new runs of the computer models are a little wetter than yesterday. I'll show you how much rain we're expecting. It is 8:14 right now, and we are seeing some high thin cloud cover, but a lot of blue sky peeking through that too. This is a live look at Goldsboro right now and Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course our newsroom there in Fayetteville on Hay Street. Here's a look at the next thing coming our way. This is going to be a front that crosses the area during the day tomorrow and brings us some rain. The computer models are trending a little wetter than they were yesterday, so changing our forecast for the rain to last longer and for there to be more of it. This high pressure system keeps things dry for us today and also is feeding in some warmth out ahead of this warm front. So we're under the warm front, seeing temperatures in the mid-60s for today. On the other side of the front, we're back into the 50s over the weekend. This is a look at today. We'll roll things out starting at around 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon. You can see how the clouds are thickening up there. Once we get to early morning tomorrow, we'll pause it there. And you can see by 8 a.m., a good bit of rain. That rain's likely to start around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and move across our area. It's going to be a pretty wet morning commute for us. It may not be pouring everywhere, but we'll have a lot of waves of rain moving through between, say, 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. and around lunchtime. We'll still have the potential for some scattered showers into the afternoon. Yesterday, it looked like we would have just a quick shot of rain in the morning, and that would be it. Now it's looking like a lot more rain for a lot longer period during the day. So safely, we're not through with the rain until around 4 or 5 o'clock p.m. at this point. And then after that, we start to see some clearing skies late Friday. Saturday, around lunchtime, there may be an isolated shower that starts to roll through, some snow back up into the mountains. You can see that rain moving in right around lunchtime. Likely just see that quick band moving through for Saturday. We'll take a look at Futurecast, the big picture. We watch that front as we get into Saturday moving southward. Sunday looks nice and dry, but Monday we may have another round of some light showers. You can see that there just maybe in our northern counties. Our best chance of rain, though, in the next 5 days, definitely going to be tomorrow, with rain starting early in the morning and continuing potentially up until around 5 p.m. or so. 30% chance on Saturday. Again, a light chance on Monday, maybe even a better chance as we get into the middle of next week. So moving into a warmer but wetter pattern for the most part. Our rainfall on Friday likely to be somewhere between a half an inch and an inch, and that's considerably more than we were looking at previously. All the way up until Monday, we may add a few more hundredths of an inch for Saturday and again on Monday. Temperatures really warm up next week, 72 on Tuesday, 77 on Wednesday. But again, there could be a few scattered showers to go with it, Brian.
It's that time of year. It is now 8:16 as we take a look at traffic. Want to update you about those delays on Capitol Boulevard between North Raleigh and Wake Forest. Heavy backups in both directions of Capitol this morning between Durant Road and Burlington Mills Road. They're working to get a crash cleared from that northbound side around Burlington Mills Road. You might consider using Ligon Mill Road as a good alternate route to get up to Burlington Mills Road. And then from there, you can continue your northbound journey on Capitol into Wake Forest. On the southbound side of Capitol Boulevard, again, some pretty big delays this morning. About an 8-minute backup overall. So allow that extra time. It's pretty busy on the southbound side of Falls of Neuse as well, heading down toward 540. It looks like that earlier crash on 440 westbound has been cleared around Lake Boone Trail. Not seeing the kind of delays we were measuring earlier there on that one. And a reminder, as you head out this morning, you can listen to us on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham. As we get things clearing up there on Capitol Boulevard, I'll let you know when everything is all clear between 540 and Highway 98. Also measuring those backups in both directions of 885 in Durham this morning, about a 5 or 6 minute delay on either side between I-40 and 147.
Thanks, Brian. Westbound lanes on Poole Road in Raleigh were closed for hours last night near Sunnybrook Road as crews worked to repair a utility pole after a serious crash there. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. This crash happened just before 2:30 yesterday. The road was closed until 9 o'clock as authorities investigated. Police say this was a single car crash. The driver was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. It's not clear what caused the crash.
An Alabama ruling that frozen embryos are children could have big impacts across the country. Medical experts and couples now fear it will impact access to in vitro fertilization treatments, or IVF. Sean Langell takes a closer look at the possible effects.
A recent ruling from the Alabama Supreme Court that frozen embryos can be considered children under state law is triggering concerns about how the decision could impact people seeking in vitro fertilization treatments, or IVF, not just in Alabama, but if similar rulings are passed in other states.
Female patient undergoes ovarian stimulation to generate mature eggs. Those eggs are removed. The mature eggs are fertilized using sperm of the patient's choice to generate embryos.
The Alabama Supreme Court decision stems from wrongful death suits filed by couples whose frozen embryos were destroyed in an accident at a fertility clinic. The justices pointed to the state constitution, which recognizes the, quote, rights of the unborn child.
Equating an embryo to a child is scientifically unfounded, and the clinical ramifications of such a legal decision are tremendous.
The University of Alabama Birmingham Hospital on Wednesday stopped providing IVF treatments while it reviews potential legal parameters behind the ruling.
Emotionally, I can't view them as children. They're potential children.
This, as some couples already pursuing treatments in the state say, the ruling impedes on their rights.
I just want my right to have a child to be protected.
Some medical experts worry if IVF is allowed to continue in Alabama, that the ruling will cause already high prices for the treatment to skyrocket.
No insurance companies will touch this because of the increased liability.
And that was Sean Langell reporting. Go Durham bus drivers plan to show up at today's city council meeting. They're calling on council members to address safety concerns within the transit system. Bus drivers say they are worried about not only their own safety, but also the safety of their passengers. Drivers tell WREL they've experienced robberies, attacks, and more while on the clock. One driver talked about a November day when a bus was hit by bullets.
Nobody was injured, but you can imagine the level of terror that is going to stay with the driver and the passengers for the rest of their lives.
No one was arrested for that shooting. Drivers want city leaders to work with police and the district attorney's office to hold more people responsible for crimes. They also want to see increased security.
U.S. officials are warning Americans in Russia to get out and stay out after the arrest of a California woman who has dual U.S.-Russian citizenship. 33-year-old Ksenia Karolina is a ballerina who lives in Los Angeles. She became a U.S. citizen in 2021, I should say. She was arrested in Russia after traveling there last month to visit her family. Russia accused her of treason for giving money to an American charity that supports Ukraine. She now faces 20 years in a Russian prison. Experts say Russia's real focus is using her as a bargaining chip. Russian President Vladimir Putin has already suggested trading jailed American journalist Evan Gershkovich for a Russian hitman who is serving a life sentence in Germany.
The family of Gabby Petito have agreed to resolve a lawsuit with Brian Laundrie's family. Petito's parents filed a lawsuit claiming the Laundrie's knew their son killed his fiance, their daughter, but withheld that information. Petito's family and their attorney released a statement saying all parties reluctantly agreed to the settlement to avoid further legal expenses and prolonged personal conflict. The attorney representing Laundrie's parents said that they look forward to putting this matter behind them.
The first U.S. moon landing in more than 50 years could happen today. The Arias lunar lander is also called Odie. It's scheduled to touch down on the moon later tonight. And the uncrewed lander launched last Thursday. If all goes as planned, the craft is expected to land near the moon's south pole around 5:50 p.m. The spacecraft has a camera system that will capture its descent. It's also carrying science and technology experiments that could help with future lunar landing missions.
It's preparing us for sending humans to the lunar surface in advance of the Artemis missions.
Now, if the mission is successful, this will be the first commercially built craft to ever reach the moon. Coming up for us, law enforcement are looking for two people this morning after they led them on a high-speed chase around Wake County.
We'll tell you how the troopers got the car to stop and how the two managed to escape.
Plus, you may have noticed a unique twist on the Hurricanes jerseys recently. We spoke to an Apex artist who designed them and the tie to Black history.
Into your car, tuned to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Thursday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. A beautiful sunny start to your Thursday. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tells us what we can expect for the rest of the day and then some rain for tomorrow.
Tomorrow's looking pretty wet for us for a good chunk of the day, but not today. Today's looking pretty. We do have some blue sky up there, but some high thin cloud cover kind of over the blue sky today. Temperatures right now are still on the cold side. 31 in Tarboro, 32 Lewisburg. It's 37 in Fayetteville and Irwin and 32 in Rocky Mount. But temperatures will warm up fast with a southerly wind. We'll climb to 60 at lunchtime and into the mid-60s. If you're exercising this evening, it's still going to be really pleasant at 6 o'clock, 60 degrees. Brian?
It is 8:27 right now. Some good news. Just in the past few minutes, we've confirmed they have cleared that crash from Capitol Boulevard right around Burlington Mills Road. We still have some lingering delays, though, in that area. Also, look out for a minor crash just reported on Wake Forest Road just north of the 440 interchange. Taking a look at your major approaches into Raleigh right now, no trouble coming in from Knightdale. Not a big delay on Apex on US 1 northbound. On the ride through Cary, seeing just a 2-minute backup, and out of Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard, we're now down to an 8-minute delay between 98 and the 540 interchange. In Durham, traffic's moving along pretty well, just a little bit of a lingering delay on 885 between I-40 and 147.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we continue to stay on top of this huge tech outage happening here in the Triangle and all across this country. We just updated the disease numbers from downdetector.com. More than 73,000, almost 74,000 customers nationwide are having connectivity issues. That number has been steadily rising since we've been on top of this story. We also got a message from AT&T a short time ago telling us that they're aware of the outage and they're trying to fix that connection ASAP. We'll be back with more local news on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Right now on Fox 50, a major tech outage affecting customers here in Raleigh and surrounding areas and nationwide. We'll break down this story by the numbers next.
And it's a cold start this morning. Temperatures are beginning to creep into the 40s in some places. And then on Friday, the newer runs of the computer models show more rain for us tomorrow. I'll show you the changes.
It is most effective when it is used in concert with other tools like crime gun intelligence, ballistic imaging, and also, and importantly, community support.
And just a few weeks after accepting surrenders again, Wake County Animal Center is at max capacity. Now the shelter is once again turning to the community for help. Welcome in on your Thursday morning. It is a beautiful start. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Renee Chu, and it's going to stay beautiful all day with all that sunshine this afternoon. And we're going to warm things up a bit more. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Pretty blue sky out there.
Look at this here in Warrington. It looks gorgeous. We do have some high, thin cloud cover. It's thicker in some places than others, but this blue sky in Warrington is looking great right now. Officially at RDU, the temperature is right around 40 degrees. We have a wind coming out of the southwest at 5 miles per hour, but that wind is going to pick up today. And as it intensifies, it's going to push warmer air in. So temperatures will be noticeably warmer than they were yesterday. Should be a nice day to get outside. We still have some cold spots right now. It is 8:31. Most likely by the time we get to 9 o'clock, we're going to see more widespread temperatures in the 40s. But right now it's 33 in Goldsboro, 32 Rocky Mount. It's 39 now in Roxboro, 34 in Southern Pines. Hour by hour, we climb to around 60 at lunchtime. We'll be in the mid 60s for highs this afternoon with some increasing clouds. And you can see that here on Futurecast. Some blue sky to start with, but then really thickening up in terms of the clouds by the time we get to 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. By 2 or 3 in the morning, we start to see some showers roll through. There's 3 a.m. We'll pause it again at 5 a.m. and pushing it on ahead to around 8 a.m. Plenty of rain out there for the morning commute. It continues to be pretty steady up until around lunchtime. Tapers off a little during the afternoon, but we're not done with it completely until around 5 o'clock. So that is definitely a longer duration and greater amounts of rain than we were looking at yesterday. 63 for tomorrow. Looking at cooler temperatures on Saturday and Sunday. We're going to talk about some of those rainfall totals we'll see for the next few days. Coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, here at 8:32, I've been watching that sensor data on Capitol Boulevard between North Raleigh and Wake Forest. We had an earlier crash on Capitol right around Burlington Mills Road, and that's led to some pretty heavy delays on that northbound side between Durant Road and Burlington Mills Road. Southbound traffic is starting to look a little bit better, about an 8-minute backup overall from 98 in Wake Forest down to 540 in Raleigh, and probably a similar delay, maybe a couple of extra minutes on that northbound trip. Just allow that extra time as you're getting ready this morning. Just in, a report of some police activity on 540 westbound between Knightdale Boulevard and Buffalo Road. You can see a little bit of a backup forming there. It clears up nicely, though, once you get up toward Buffalo Road. Elsewhere around the Triangle, a report of a minor crash on Wake Forest Road near the 440 interchange here in the past 15 minutes or so. I'm not seeing big delays with that, but look out for a police response to that crash. Move over at least one lane if you see those flashing lights. Lingering backups on the south side of Raleigh on 40 westbound between the Lake Wheeler Road area out toward Gorman Street. In Durham, we're looking okay on the Durham Freeway. This is 885 at TW Alexander Drive. That northbound trip a little slow as you head away from Cornwallis Road through TW Alexander. About a 3-minute delay heading out toward the I-85 interchange.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we continue to stay on top of this major tech outage affecting customers from AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon here in the Triangle and across the nation. We just updated these numbers from downdetector.com. More than 73,000 customers are reporting a connectivity issue. Mind you, these are people who have reported. Likely that number is a lot more. We also got a statement from AT&T within the last hour saying the company is aware of this issue and they're working to correct the problem ASAP. They're also telling people to go to the service outage information page, but we've done that, and we're getting a lot of messages that saying it's all clear, no power outages to report or connectivity outages to report. But we've gotten a lot of phone calls and messages from our viewers here in the Triangle area saying not so fast, that they're still having issues as well. Let's get out to Brett Neese at the RDU International Airport. And Brett, you're talking to people who are experiencing this issue.
Yes, so many people here that are traveling this morning, Ken, are experiencing this issue. And we talked to them as we were walking in here just a short while ago. And really, the frustration is starting to set in because we rely on our phones for so many things, like our boarding passes and things like that. Take a listen to this traveler that we just caught up to moments ago.
Very frustrating, especially because today is travel day, and today's the day I need the electronic boarding passes, the check-in for the rental cars and everything. That's all, we all live by our phones nowadays. So all of that is highly stressful.
Now take a look back out here live. I have my phone pulled up. I have an AT&T phone as well. And you can see in the top corner, it says SOS. That is what the message is that is on a lot of people's AT&T phones, that's what they're seeing with these connectivity issues. One thing I can tell you is if you connect to a Wi-Fi hotspot, you are able to download some of those boarding passes, some of that other key information that you might need to travel today. That's the biggest tip that I've been able to hear from travelers so far here at RDU. We're going to continue to stay on top of this major story and keep you updated. Live at RDU, Brett Neese, WRL News.
And two people are on the run this morning after leading a trooper on a high-speed chase in a stolen car. The chase started last night when a trooper clocked the car going 90 miles an hour on I-40 near the U.S. 70 exit. That speeding car exited onto NC-42 near Clayton. A trooper was able to use a pit maneuver to stop the car on Cornwallis Road in Wake County. Three people jumped out of the car and ran. One of them, a juvenile, was caught. The others were able to escape search efforts by Highway Patrol, Garner Police, and Wake County Sheriff's deputies.
Happening today, safety in Durham will be a big topic of conversation at today's city council meeting. The police chief will give an update on crime data in the city. Bus drivers from Go Durham will also call on the council to make public transportation safer. City leaders will consider bringing back ShotSpotter. That's the technology that detects gunshots. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains. Police say they're for this, but others have concerns.
Officers here at the Durham Police Department have been advocating for this technology for a long time now. And today, Durham City Council will talk about using ShotSpotter for a three-year contract. That contract would cost more than $650,000. But Durham Police believe it's worth the money, pointing to data from a one-year pilot. That data shows the median response time was 271 seconds in the area where the technology was installed. That's 88 seconds faster than the year before. Some people are concerned that ShotSpotter increases police activity in communities of color. They also bring up privacy concerns. Tom Chittum with ShotSpotter argues it's an effective tool.
We very often help police locate gunshot wound victims who need immediate aid, especially when no one else calls 911.
ShotSpotter is already being used in at least six other cities across North Carolina, including Fayetteville, Goldsboro, Greenville, Rocky Mount, Wilmington, and Winston-Salem. Representatives from Duke University's Wilson Center will also be at today's meeting. They'll be presenting their findings about the effectiveness of this technology. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Durham.
Police Chief Patrice Andrews will share a full report on crime in 2023 with the City Council today. The report shows there were 49 homicides in Durham in 2023. That is up from 45 in 2022. There were 157 rapes. That's up from 135 in 2022. And there were 484 robberies, which is down from 574 the year before. Andrews will also talk with city leaders about police response times and staffing. And coming up in 10 minutes, the concerns Go Durham bus drivers want police and city leaders to address.
Today, Durham Public School leaders are expected to make a decision about how to address the district's pay concerns long term. The board is considering different options to give classified staff raises and restore salary steps that were taken away from employees. The dispute over pay has disrupted class schedules in Durham several times in recent weeks. Last week, school leaders agreed to create a panel to give employees a greater voice in the decision-making. The group will include school board members, school administrators, and members of the Durham Association of Educators. Today, the members of the group will be chosen.
Later this morning, major changes to North Carolina public education will go before the state Supreme Court. It's all related to the Leandro case. That's the decades-old lawsuit from several area families and school boards that said the state was not providing an adequate education. The case still is not resolved. The state Supreme Court is scheduled to hear arguments about whether a $5.6 billion plan to give more resources to schools can go into effect across North Carolina. The hearing gets started at 10:45 this morning. Advocates plan to gather outside the court as they demand that the state immediately fund the full plan. And Leandro is a case our WRL documentary team has done a lot of work on. You can watch the full documentary, Leandro, The Case for a Basic Sound Education. It's on WRL.com. Just search Leandro Doc.
The Wake County Animal Center is once again at maximum capacity. This comes 3 weeks after they started accepting animal surrenders again. The shelter says it has 144 dogs, a few puppies, and some cats. Another 39 dogs are in foster care. The shelter needs the community's help to save pets from euthanasia, so they are reducing the adoption costs.
Just ahead, a YouTuber was arrested after showing off wheelie tricks and 150 mile per hour speeds online. More on his online footprint showing several daring driving choices coming up.
And could Raleigh be the home of a new Major League Baseball team? Why ESPN lists two North Carolina cities as likely baseball destinations.
And you are looking live at White Lake this morning. Beautiful out there. It's going to be lovely today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking some scattered showers for tomorrow, though. We'll have your full forecast after the break. Welcome back. You're looking live over Southeast Wake County from our tall tower cam and watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. It's a pretty start so far, and it's going to be a really nice afternoon. Elizabeth Gardner with a look at what we can expect as we move through the morning and the day.
We're seeing these blue skies right here in Warrenton, of course, which is up near the Virginia line. We are seeing some high thin cloud cover in some spots, though, so be on the lookout for that. That will increase as we get through the day today. Our temperature right now in the Triangle area is 41, but we're looking at temperatures still in the low to mid 30s in a lot of spots. I think, once we get to a little bit later in the day, we're going to see our temperatures warming up pretty nicely. Right now it is 41 in Roxboro, 37 in Fayetteville, 32 still in Rocky Mount, and 34 in Southern Pines. We are looking at a breezy afternoon. Our temperatures, of course, will be on the warm side in the mid to upper 60s. The wind will be pushing up that warmth from the south, but we'll see some gusts from time to time up to around 20 miles per hour. Here's a look at our future cast winds, and you can see as we get into the afternoon, we're going to be steady at about 10 to 15. We may see some gusts up to around 20 miles per hour later on this afternoon. Our temperatures are going to be warm, looking at mid-60s in Raleigh and Durham, 67 in Fayetteville for this afternoon. We have been chilly this morning, so you can still see the blue color contours here right along the coast. But look at all this warmth back to the west. Those red colors are where we're seeing temperatures above normal. That continues for the next couple of days. We're cooler over the weekend and then warm again next week. By Tuesday at 4 o'clock, we're looking at well above normal temperatures back to our west. We start to feel that on Wednesday and Thursday. A lot of ups and downs with our temperatures this time of year. That's because of the cold fronts that tend to come through. This is a pretty active time of year as we're coming out of winter and into spring. We see a lot of fronts. Ahead of a front, we're warmer, and behind a front, we're typically cooler. So 57 today is our normal high. We'll be at 66 this afternoon and 63 tomorrow. It's cooler over the weekend behind the front in the mid-50s, and then ahead of the next front, we warm up again Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Check in satellite and radar. Early this morning, the warm front brought just a few showers back to our north and west, and it sent some clouds our way. We'll likely see some sunshine into the middle of the afternoon, and then after that, the clouds will really start to thicken up. There's 5 o'clock, and you can see the cloudy skies. Not likely to see rain until early tomorrow morning, so sometime after midnight, that rain starts to push in. And it will be with us during the morning commute. You can see there between 7 and 10, plenty of rain across the area. The big change in our weather models is the fact that we're looking at the rain lasting a lot longer and being a bit heavier. We're likely to see anywhere from half an inch to an inch of rain. Yesterday, it was looking like around a quarter of an inch. So pretty big change there. And it's also likely to linger at least until the middle of the afternoon. Yesterday, it looked like it would mainly be in the morning. We're watching the tree pollen. It has started to creep up over the last couple of weeks. For today, it's medium for juniper and cypress. But I'll tell you, we get into March, we will likely see that really creeping up. It seems to be that the rain will help to tamp that down just a little bit. We'll see that on Friday. Expecting a slight chance of showers on Saturday and possibly by the middle of next week as well. Just a little bit of light, patchy rain, but it will be warm. Look at that, 77 on Wednesday.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, we continue to stay on top of a major tech outage happening here in the Triangle and across the nation for customers of AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon customers. We just updated these numbers from downdetector.com. The amount of people reporting connectivity issues, more than 73,000. And these are just people who are reporting the connectivity issues. So this number is likely a lot more than that. Within the last hour and a half, we received a statement from AT&T saying the company is aware that users are having mobility issues and the company is working to correct the problem ASAP. Now, they're asking customers to go to the service outage information page. We did just that and put in several zip codes on the Triangle and surrounding areas, and we've been getting all clear, no outages to report, but we've been getting a lot of phone calls and emails from people all around the Triangle saying not so fast. They're actually having connectivity issues as well. We will stay on top of this story and keep you updated here in the WRL Live Center.
Ken, thanks. Go Durham bus drivers also plan to show up at the city council meeting in Durham. They are calling on the council to address safety concerns within the transit system. Bus drivers say they are worried about not only their own safety, but also the safety of their passengers. Drivers tell WRL they've experienced robberies, attacks, and more while on the clock. They want city leaders to work with police and the district attorney's office to hold people more responsible for crimes. They also want increased security. New this morning, a toddler is dead after shooting in Charlotte. Police responded to a call for an assault with a deadly weapon around 5:30 last night. When they arrived, they found a 3-year-old boy with a gunshot wound. He later died at the hospital. Authorities say the initial investigation shows the child may have found an unsecured handgun inside the home and likely shot himself. A parent was at the home with the child at the time of the shooting. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department believes the gun may belong to a parent in the apartment.
A memorial is growing for an Indiana girl who died when a hole she was digging along with her brother on a Florida beach collapsed on them. 7-year-old Sloane Mattingly was on vacation with her family near Fort Lauderdale. She and her 9-year-old brother Maddox were in a hole about 5 feet deep when the sand around them collapsed. Sloane was completely buried. Her brother was buried up to his chest. It is not clear how long they were trapped before people were able to dig them out. Sloane later died at the hospital.
Two major airlines are set to resume flights to Israel for the first time since the war with Hamas began. United Airlines will become the first U.S. carrier to bring back the service. The first flight is scheduled for March 2nd. Nonstop flights from Newark, New Jersey began on March 6th. Delta Airlines also plans to bring back its service to Israel beginning May 1st.
And WRL spoke with the man who recorded this video of the school bus that caught fire last week. A driver from Durham Public Schools helped get all of the children on board to safety before that fire. Frank Talata says the driver is a hero for what she did. The district gave her recognition as well. Talata is very aware of the salary saga playing out at the school district, and he says he has a child who will soon be in the Durham Public Schools district. Knowing DPS staff are demanding better pay, he points to the quality of work someone like that bus driver puts in to protect children.
That goes above and beyond the call of duty. And it just makes me think why they're not getting paid what they need to be getting paid, why they're not able to earn a good living taking care of our children and making sure that our children get to and from school safely.
And Talata says if you hire workers and expect them to take care of who and what you're entrusting them with, you have to take care of those workers as well.
A motorcyclist who recorded himself racing through traffic at over 150 miles per hour is arrested after posting the videos on YouTube. Take a look at the video here. You can see the man weaving between vehicles as he raced down the interstate. Colorado State Patrol teamed up with law enforcement in Texas to arrest the alleged driver, Rendon Dietzman. He was extradited from Texas to Colorado Springs, where he faces several charges. Dietzman has hundreds of videos posted on YouTube where he says he likes to wheelie and go fast. Could Raleigh be the home of a Major League Baseball expansion team? ESPN says it's a possibility. Raleigh and Charlotte were named in a new article as possible destinations for MLB's next franchise. They were just two of 10 potential cities named for an MLB expansion. Open land near PNC Arena and other parts of Raleigh, as well as a wealthy owner who's expressed interest in bringing MLB here, are listed as benefiting factors. WRL Sports investigative reporter Brian Murphy says it's a long road ahead before moving forward.
What would it cost taxpayers? Would there be some kind of tax levied on Raleigh residents or Wake County residents to build the stadium? I mean, there are just so many unknowns right now.
Murphy says Raleigh is in direct competition with Nashville. Charlotte, Austin, and Orlando are some of the other top locations to potentially land MLB teams. Carolina Hurricanes fans may have noticed a unique twist on the team logo. The hockey team revealed this Black Excellence jersey to celebrate Black History Month. North Carolina artist Mike Jones is a designer. He told WREL he got his inspiration from the poem, The Rose That Grew from Concrete, by Tupac Shakur. These jerseys bearing Jones's design sold out within minutes at the February 6th matchup. Proceeds from jersey sales go to Durham Success Summit, a nonprofit providing career readiness programs for young black men.
They are beautiful. Love it. And before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.